adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Jenna Malone is here tonight. The United States of Leland is the name of the new movie. Well, also, you know her work from Cold Mountain, Life is a House. Donnie Darko, Stepmom, Contact. Who were you in Contact?
Your mama. No, I was the young Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
I played her as a child.
Yeah, when she'd always dreamt of space travel.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd like to do it like a flashback to the person, and they weren't doing anything that was at all connected to where they were today.
That'll be the Corolla story.
Yeah, for me, like, I thought it was going to be a pirate who played professional football. And it would be, like, I'd have a radio flashback, and it'd just be me thinking about being a pirate.
Right.
And it would come back to real time and go, well,
with
that's
you,
why it's
like,
so bad.
In a bathtub.
Yeah.
Some hotel.
Yeah, I just, you know, it. Somehow they always conveniently get to the part where they're talking about astronomy at age 9.
Right.
Well, how old were you? You're 19 now, right?
I was 12 when I did that, I think.
And you were playing?
A 12-year-old, I think, 11.
Didn't tell you that?
No, they did. I don't think it was very important to the
character.
It
was the same age you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Sort of the young child.
Yeah.
her dad dies and she's trying to contact him.
Totally.
The
and there's that really cool shot when she's like... Everyone asked me about it, like, sort of...
Through the window?
Yeah, running through, coming back and pulling back for the bathroom mirror, and it goes from slow motion to sped up. And
The movie Contact scared the bejesus out of me, not because of the content of the film, but because the beginning of the film, and you'll remember this, I'm sure, although Drew will not, was a shot from, like, outer space.
Don't remember.
All right, and it was sort of moving toward Earth, getting closer and closer and closer.
Crazy sound.
It starts in silence.
But it starts in silence.
Yeah.
It starts in dead, dark silence.
Yeah.
And so what do I do? Now, it's one of my first DVDs I'm ever going to watch in my new home surround theater.
Totally.
So, and which I still can't work to this day, and it's been 9 years now. I pop the DVD in, I hit play. Well, we got video. We got video. There's no audio. There's no audio. And it's to turn this thing up. Turn the boost up on the thing. Oh. Start punching buttons. And
all of a sudden it kicks in.
Let me just
in.
Tell you something that drives me goddamn nuts. The new stereos, the nice stereos, you buy a high-end stereo, it has a knob, a volume knob, that never stops. It's a Brody knob. It'll just keep turning and turning and turning.
Well, it has lots of negative numbers. So it makes it very clear.
Comfortable listening at the Corolla house is negative 18. When you get up to, like, +3, you're blowing the windows out of the joint. And I keep screaming at the stereo guy, you can't just have it go from 1 to 10. There's got to be negative 56. What does that mean? Like, I owe sound? What does negative sound mean? Like, I hear my own heartbeat. That's it. I'm back in the womb. So, naturally, I have no idea what any of these numbers or things mean. So, being +16 or negative 28 and all the... I had this thing cranked up to, like, +25, which is as loud as it ever... And then all of a sudden, in the movie, it's not a slow burn. It's boom!
Yeah.
And, stuff shaking and falling. I'm diving. It's like I... Scared the bejesus out of me. And yes, that was you who did that.
That wasn't me. That was Robert Zemeckis.
You.
But that's awesome.
The through the window thing is that they use one of those crazy robotic apparatuses. No, they have these things that reproduce movement. I couldn't believe this. It looked like the damn machine that they built to make the contact.
Right, totally. No,
you know
I think for
about?
Yeah, I think for that one what they used was they'd used crane shots to sort of move into something, and then they'd take that image and they'd digitally reproduce it on blue screen, and they'd put the blue screen like sort of around the frame of the window, and they'd put that image in the that little space.
Stare, gotta get down to the minus. I'm still on the minus. So really, minus, you understand that...
Because it actually, in a weird way, it might offer you more. You know, not only do you have plus channels, but you have negative channels. You can
minus is the comfortable listening. Minus about 16 is where you want it. If you get to zero, it's way too loud.
Hey, by the way, I'm not done with Contact yet.
All right.
We're having two parallel...
years old.
I am a non-sci-fi movie guy. I do not find anything appealing about them, but this was so clever and so interesting. Yeah. It stays with me to this day.
Really? And by the way, we're talking about the man not seen Raging Bull.
Right. Crazy.
Who's not seen The Shining.
Seen The Shining.
Well, who I forced him to see a sort of...
And what did you think after forced into that?
He didn't like it because he watched it at home, and it was sort of one of those arm-twisting, like, finish your peas
kind
of movie-watching experiences where he sort of watched half on and half off.
I could appreciate that somebody would like it.
Right.
I didn't like
it.
I don't like horror films.
No, but the thing about The Shining is it's a 2.5-3 hour movie, and nothing happens for the first hour and 20 minutes. So, I mean, you have to be sort of captive. You almost have to be forced to watch it. And let me say this. I was just thinking, you know, it's unfortunate. All right, I'm going to take an axe to Drew if you don't shut that off, Anderson. it's unfortunate that people, you know, have the choice to watch movies not in the theater these days.
Yes.
And I know it sounds like a hypocrite, but
really?
I mean, something like The Shining, great movie. If Drew had seen it in the theater, he would have really enjoyed it. There's many movies that I have seen out of the theater that I haven't been able to stay with because, yeah, they're a great film, but the phone's ringing and I get up
not
and
only
back.
That, where last night I went to a film where I, by the way, saw the trailer for United States of Leyland. It looked very interesting.
Awesome.
But I walked into a theater that was big, and I thought, oh, my God, I've not seen a film on a big screen in 5 years.
What did you see? You saw something for the kids, right?
No, they were seeing
Spy Kids 8.
Hidalgo, and I went over and saw Lady Killers.
Oh, really?
And it was the big room. You know, there's lots of little rooms, these theaters now.
Yeah.
And it didn't make a difference. Anyway.
I heard it wasn't great, but go ahead.
Nah.
Well, the original, I mean, that's like Peter Sellers. Don't mess with it, you know?
Yeah, I heard the original was good.
It's incredible.
You're 19. Well, you saw that movie?
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of Peter Sellers. So
Yeah. Well, that's
but
a
I have
good
to. I have to definitely, sorry, but you finish and then
well,
I'm going to contest
this
the
film
point.
Looks very interesting, your film.
And, cool. Saw the trailer.
Yeah, it looks very, what is it that's so special about him? If I could, that does not come through on the trailer.
What why is he so such special a, about Leland?
Yes. He kills somebody because of you. It's all your fault.
Well, that's exactly what the film's trying not to do, is sort of give you that crisp, easy understanding of why these sort of...
But what comes through in the trailer over and over again is like, we've never seen a case like this before. This guy's extraordinary. This kid's got you under his grip, too.
Is the trailer marketing? That's funny.
That's what comes out multiple times.
What they're saying is, like, in the juvenile detention sort of system, is that there's usually a lot of gang-related people who are being inducted in there, and there's a lot of... pretty like cases that we hear about all the time, and this was
the guy that's got busted
a
for
boy
pot three
that
times.
Yeah, right. Totally. You know, people sort of tattletale on other gangs and just all these sort of strange interconnected things, and and this is a boy that's sort of, you know, it's just sort of like what happened like a year ago with all the school killings. You know, it's like it's never expected because he's white and he's, you know, has a good family but also particularly from him, he really doesn't show a lot of emotion, and he confesses to it, and it's not like he has all of these traumatic, like, oh, he listens to heavy metal or he, you know, wears trench coats. There's not an easy sort of out for an explanation of why he could commit this crime, and I think that's what's so interesting, and that's what makes people want to sort of investigate it more.
Well, the school killings are the domain of the white man. I want to let you know about that.
Yeah.
It's always confusing when we get our colors mixed up. Like when we found out that Sniper was black in D.C., it was like, oh, my God. I got to go back to the drawing board. I go back to the racist drawing board and get this straightened out.
You got to straighten out the guy in Ohio. He straightened it all out for you.
Right. So. Couldn't hit anybody.
Right. But, even the kids in Denver, it turned out to be messed up. I mean, this business about, the kids in the school, we couldn't imagine what happened. Oh, long history of very serious stuff.
Totally. On. Absolutely.
Oh, Columbine. Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think I saw this movie reviewed by Siskel and Roper or whatever.
Awards.
It was a year ago or something. It's all coming back to me in bits and pieces, but
the
movie's been around for a little
has.
Bit, right?
I made it when I was, it's probably like, I made
just
it when I was like
Contact?
16.
Really?
So 3 years ago, and it came out on the 2003 Sundance Film Festival. That's where it premiered, and it was picked up right away, and then just just sort of trying to figure out where it fit in the format of, you know, when people would see it. And, you know, we're up against basically The Rock. And I think that there's, you know, there's not a lot of people who are going to be seeing this film that would really want to see, you know, Walking Tall.
Yeah,
and I'm not quite sure about that.
It's a different crowd,
so.
Yeah.
The movie-going crowd as opposed to everybody else.
Yeah. So The Rock is, he's no Joe Don Baker, I'll tell you that right now. Remember him? Walking Tall.
Oh.
Let his 2x4 do his talking.
Nice reference.
Yeah. Lauren?
Hello.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first I wanted to say that I saw Donnie Darko over the weekend, and that is like the weirdest movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anderson loves that movie.
Like, it made no sense whatsoever.
Well, give it another watching, you know?
That's because you're retarded, Lauren.
Huh?
Wow.
That's got to be because you're a little slow.
Anderson loved that movie. I never saw it.
I probably
were talking about that last time you were up here.
I think so,
yes,
yeah.
I remember that.
All right, well, listen, Lauren, you know, she's 17 years old. She's,
right.
You know,
I only watched
know
it
that
once.
Much. All right, watch it again.
Right. Okay, right. My question was, like, I finish a lot faster than my boyfriend, and and it's only when I'm on top. But, like, when he's on top, like, I don't finish at all. And I was wondering why.
Yeah, you get a little more direct stimulation that way. Look, why does a massage around your neck and shoulders feel better than one around your calves and thighs? I don't know. That's what you like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Figured that way, that it makes, you know, the fact that you can orgasm during intercourse puts you way ahead of everybody else.
That she can.
You're capable of that is
right.
Nothing short of remarkable.
At 17.
At 17, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, as you get older, there may be more generalization to that. You may be able to do it with him on top, perhaps. But just the fact that you can have orgasmic intercourse puts you ahead of the pack.
Oh, yeah. Like a Kenyan out in front of some drunken Irishman. And, like, way out in front, just looking over your shoulder and laughing.
This is how amazing. Think how ridiculous we are in educating women about their bodies, that a woman that has advanced function has to think, what's the matter with me? Why only when I'm on top? How weird.
Well,
I mean, that's ridiculous.
It is. But here's the thing. I think we're sort of, and this is a scary part as far as the direction society's turned, but people aren't looking to relish whatever it is they have. They're looking for the piece that's missing. I mean, it's like some gin rummy hand. You're not excited or proud over the cards you have. There's still two or three that you're missing, and those are the ones you're looking for.
I think
for.
There's something more onerous going on, which is that we're not allowing women to really express what they actually are. They have to be something that they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And actually allowing them to speak up and share what they actually are, which is quite diverse and quite different, is somehow threatening.
Well, let me speak on Jenna's behalf. As a woman, she says.
Nice young woman here. We go.
Right.
Talk.
Well, no. I was totally, you know, I was listening. And but I don't know. I'm sorry. I was about to ask your name.
Lauren.
I don't know. I feel like we don't really get a chance to explore a lot of our just like sexuality until we have a partner, and then we almost feel like Well, it's just sort of what happens.
No,
I don't
know. You're not motivated to. Male, you can't force them not to. You can't.
Totally.
You cannot create a paradigm where they won't.
Right.
They will electrocute. They will grow hair in their palms. They'll go blind. Whatever. They're still doing it. Yeah. And if they don't do it, God does it for them.
Totally.
Sure.
But, like, if you're in a relationship and you realize that you, like, sort of like it better on top, and it's because also it's, like, you have more control over what you're doing to your body and, like, different rhythms that feel better for you. And I think sometimes if you can just apply that to, like, other sexual situations, like, just sort of take from what you, like, what feels good, you know, when you're on top, then you can sort of, you know, apply that to other things, and that might sort of help out a little bit.
All right. She's 17.
She's good.
Fine. Nadia? And she didn't much care for Darko.
No, if it's weird, it's good.
All right, Nadia.
It's never mind.
Hey.
What's happening?
Nothing much.
Got a question?
Yeah. I want to know if I can get eczema on my vagina.
Eczema on your vagina. You have eczema on your skin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have asthma?
I don't think so.
Asthma, rhinitis, allergic rhinitis, and eczema kind of go together.
What's rhinitis? You got runny nose?
I don't know any of those.
Eczema is just an allergic rash, basically.
Okay. It's
blotches on your skin.
Yeah. Are you there? Nadia, listen.
Yeah.
What do you? Well, I got to find out what she's seeing there.
Listen, I speak for all women. Go ahead and ask me.
Eczema is a skin thing. You don't really, but you can get overlap into mucosal services when you have skin syndrome.
Her phone line's bad.
Nadia, what are you seeing on the vagina?
Like bumps, and it's really like itchy and red. Like I have on my arms and my neck and my legs.
Are you sexually active?
Yeah.
I
use protection like all the time with my boyfriend. So
condom. Condom?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? One of the things
about... She's also got something going on in the background, which is distracting.
All right, here's the deal. You can put a hold now.
All right.
One of the things about being eczematous is you tend to be allergic to a lot of things called atopy. And one of the things you could easily be allergic to is latex. So using latex condoms, maybe you're having a reaction to
people
that.
People have eczema are allergic to a lot of stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you may want to use a polyurethane condom or something. And also, since you are sexually active, somebody needs to look at what this is so they can diagnose it properly.
I can't hang with people that are allergic to stuff. I don't like them as human beings. I've said it many times.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
You know,
I know it. I never believe them. I was listening to a little talk radio today, and they're like, oh, I'm glad they banned smoking on the beach at Santa Monica. And then someone will call in and go,
what?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
I know, and then I know. What about liberty, everybody? What about that one? Everyone's here's the whole thing, everybody. Just because we don't want to get into this with society where there's 80% of the society doesn't smoke, so therefore, let's just charge. Yeah, we want to show hands. Who wants to charge $10 a pack cigarette? Oh, right here. Okay, who wants to ban it from? Okay, who wants to make it illegal from? That's not a good sign. That's not
bad
a good
sign.
Thing.
I totally agree.
It's
with
a
you.
Really bad sign, and it's an easy sell because, look, if 80% of the population doesn't do something or is not interested in something, then it's real easy to go, who thinks this 20% or 15 or whatever percent should be penalized, punished, whatever, exiled, banished? Oh, okay. Well, it's a democracy, and people have spoken. I've said this many times. I've also... all right, but the point is I get excited. But the point is, whenever they do these talk shows, people always call in, and it's always that guy, and he's going, "I'm allergic to smoke," and you know, when my neighbors smoke, I ask that they.
Well,
and I
the
just
talk
think,
show host.
Pussy,
yeah.
Can't hang with this guy.
The talk show. Oh, talk that's show. Wonderful. Oh, that's yeah. Won't so this be nice for you?
Near, and I always think, I'm sure there are people who are allergic to smoke out there. All I know is, coincidentally or not, I will hate that person. I know they're world-class pussy, and I could never hang out with them.
But it's such a big world out there, you know? I mean, it's like, come on, how long has, like, just people in general been smoking? And it's such a new thing to put these bans on people, particularly in public places. And it's such a, I don't know, I think it's like the first step in a lot of things that are going to follow, which is the sort of the scariest thing for me.
Slippery slope. No, it's true. I mean, the idea that 20 years ago you couldn't smoke a cigarette on the beach, of all places, which is just one huge ashtray out front of a Vegas
Santa Monica
hotel
beach
for me. and then number two that you would be getting, you know, $250 fines for it. And it's always, you know, everyone always says, oh, the cigarette butts or the whatever. Well, look, that's life. I mean, you can't outlaw fast food because some people throw the garbage out into the street.
Yeah.
I know Drew had an idea for something else there. But what I'm saying is look, if there's a problem, then you find the people who throw the butts in the ash and you put more receptacles.
Is this about butts or is this about smoke exposure?
It's, you know, they always get a little
vague.
They always get a little vague, but 200 different types of poisons in the butts of the cigarette, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if you stand on that, you'll get foot cancer.
And don't worry, I see many, many, many cases of cigarette butt-related illnesses.
yes, many. Secondhand smoke.
Many.
People crawling in and dying in your office every day of secondhand smoke.
Well, second only to the cigarette butt exposure.
First-rate killer. First-rate killer, the secondhand smoke. All right. Hey, it's just all we're saying is cigarettes are not good for you. They're bad for you. And that's not a good thing to encourage young people to smoke. But it's a very slippery slope, I hate to say it, when we start, first off, turning things, lying, essentially,
yes.
Saying 55,000 people a year die of secondhand smoke. And then secondly, essentially using scare tactics and deception. And then outlawing everything because people make a choice and it could possibly hurt them.
Yes.
Really, because you really got to extend that into fast food and motorcycles.
Oh, they're trying to. Oh, yes.
I mean, you got to start stretching that into every possible thing where somebody could do some damage to themselves or someone around them. Thank you. All right, let's talk to Christina. Christina?
I have a million thoughts about what you just said.
Hello.
All right, well,
but
hold on.
Far, but I won't
what are they?
With it.
What?
Well, that first of all, you know, we're becoming a these are first-rate problems. We're becoming a second-rate country as a result of them.
Right.
Because of adjudicating them. Hmm. But the basis of law, this is going to bore. It's
go.
Far,
go, buddy.
Is it,
go!
That, Aristotle believed that we're supposed to create virtuous people. People live a virtuous life.
That was Jackie Kennedy's husband?
Yeah, Aristotle.
Uh-huh.
A Greek man also.
It's huge glasses on that cat. Good look. I mean, not a great looking guy, but he really pulled down some world class tail.
I think we're getting confused of what is virtuous and what is healthy.
You got a yacht.
And what is
you got
choice.
Yeah. You know
even
what I'm saying?
Totally.
You wear those big Swifty Lazar glasses, you smoke the cigar, and you got that like a 200
strong
foot
Greek
yacht.
Nose.
Yeah, very strong. I guess he was a handsome man in many ways. Yeah, had those Greek features.
Yeah, good.
What were you saying?
That's what I was saying. Good times.
Okay. Well, let's keep the show moving.
Let's do a German or Florida.
All
right. just to cap that.
Christina?
Hello?
You're 14. It's time to play Germany or Florida.
Yes.
Now, this
things are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you. Germany or Florida.
Oh, that song.
That's right. It really, I got to tell you.
A jig.
The first time we heard it, I labeled it as more of a shanty than a song. But it's growing on me.
This has grown on us.
It really is. And it does really sum up the essence of Germany and Florida.
Yes.
Yeah.
To start off, I want to say, Dr. Drew, Adam Carolla, you guys are the best. Love your
Thank
show.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have to make this kind of quick because the phone is going to die.
Go ahead.
All right. So there's a pet shop owner, and he is selling ant colonies and ants. He's selling ants individually for $700 and whole colonies for $2,000. And kids in that area, they are just going absolutely crazy over these ants, and it's a really big fad.
Mm-hmm.
Individual
are they
ants?
Specialty ants? I mean, are they?
No, just regular ants.
How much is per ant? How much?
$700
per ant.
Yes.
So I could make a killing with
is
just what's in my bathroom.
Is there a philosophy behind the ant? Is he selling something else? I mean,
no, just ants, and you get the little house to keep them in.
All right. Well,
it must be
no,
Germany.
This is the Uncle Milty. Ant farm thing, I think.
Okay. Well, tell us about that. What is that?
No, no.
I don't know what that
okay,
is.
Here's Uncle Milton. Okay, here's the whole thing. First off, this is a horrible example of Germany or Florida. Some madman is selling an ant. She's not playing the game right. She's leaving something out.
Yeah.
Maybe what she's saying is someone has got hold of these vintage ant farms from way back in the day.
I see.
And they're reselling them for
more. I see.
We got to go Germany. Christina's
14,
so.
We'll forgive her.
Oops. Yeah, she's. Christina.
Yes.
Are you done with the story, or is there any
part
of it you're withholding?
That's it.
Okay. Germany.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That was horrible. You're a horrible person. He's just selling ants for $700.
No.
If he was selling a philosophy behind the ant, sort of like a little magical story he concocted about
these ants. She misread the story.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Jenna Malone is here tonight. The movie is The United States of Leland. It is opening in theaters on April 2nd in New York and Los Angeles, and then probably spreading throughout the country. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Ethan is coming in from Survivor. Who's got his ass voted off, I think, last week. Jenna Malone is here tonight from the United States of Leland. New York and Los Angeles, April 2nd. Drew saw the saw the trailer. Mm-hmm. Looks powerful.
Looks
I saw it reviewed, I think, by Roper and Siskel or Ebert or Roper.
Yeah,
anyway,
what did they say? I haven't seen it.
I remember them giving a very favorable review, but it was at least 9 or 10 months back.
Oh, okay.
Let me say this before Ethan comes in here from Survivor, which is, I got this theory about, you know how he's a soccer player. And evidently, I don't know, professional soccer player, you know how these things work on these reality shows. A guy plays a little soccer, he's a pro soccer player, and if a chick stands next to a car at the auto show, she's a high fashion model. You know, We get it all the time on our show.
Lily. Speaks four Gilda languages. Lily. Well,
right.
I went to Rome once.
Doesn't speak English. yeah. We've had him on the show many times.
Oh,
but
that's awesome.
But and we'll talk to Ethan about it when he gets here. But I think was a professional soccer player. Here's the point. Gets his ass kicked by Boston Rob, the construction worker from Boston, and all these sort of ones that have to do with footwork and speed and agility and all that dexterity and all that kind of stuff. And you think, and last week got thrown off. This guy, Rob, kept knocking him off this. They were doing this log rolling. You know, he was just spinning. This is nothing but soccer dribbling. You know what I mean? This is nothing but footwork on the thing. And it just, hold on, quiet. Made me think two things. First off, soccer, not a real sport. And not getting the cream of the crop athletes. Secondly, you show me a guy, I don't care what he's doing for a living, but an a-hole from Boston who's got a sharp mouth. And this is the guy who could beat up the guy who's the black belt.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just because he's angrier than the other guy
is,
or just because he is what he is.
Right.
This guy, it doesn't matter who you are, this guy's Boston Rob. You're a professional soccer player. He's going to out-footwork you on the log roll, knock
Boston
you
Rob.
Into the thing, because he's Boston Rob.
I actually spent 2 days with Ethan once.
Oh, he did?
In Pittsburgh.
Log rolling?
He did not mention soccer once.
Oh, he didn't?
No, so that'll be interesting to see if...
But what if it's like a childhood thing? You know, it's like sort of like they're like kind of pro or like
no.
ahead of their high school.
No,
or...
that's not
I'm
kind of pro.
You,
that's high school soccer player.
I know. It's
I
true,
know.
But what? Yeah. Okay.
That's television pro.
No, television is his. He was going to be a professional baseball player until his career was cut short in the eighth grade. It's like.
We get that a lot.
If we get a lot
really?
Of going to be a pro ball player.
Yeah,
everyone was going to be a pro ball player up until the point where they didn't get the scholarship coming out of high school.
No, we got a lot of, when we were doing the TV show Love Line, a lot of, Jill here in medical school dropped out just mid-residency for her.
To become a model.
To become a model. And you talk to her, and it's like, they go, I took a biology class in high school. And I thought about it for about 5 minutes.
Yeah. And see, in the celebrity world, you thinking you're going to do something is like some preordained thing. Well, then it is. It is written.
You did that.
Totally.
You know, that's where you were headed until this all happened.
It's not that he was
going
to do it. Yeah. Had she not started blowing overweight Middle Eastern guys in Milan at age 15, she would have been one of the world's greatest pediatric surgeons, you know? Well, she never got past the ninth grade. And he never played high school ball, even.
We'll
so I'm
see.
Not sure
we'll
how
see.
He could have played. Now, I'm not talking about Ethan. I'm talking about all the actor guys who were going to play professional baseball, except for they never played in high school.
Right.
Really?
Like,
by the way,
Adam, that's going to be your story when
pirate,
the story. Can be
astronaut.
Pirate astronaut.
I was going to be.
No, not going to be. He was a pirate astronaut.
I would have been.
No, not would have been.
I am.
You are a pirate astronaut.
R.
Yes. RRR. See?
Yeah.
You got good.
Yeah.
No, he was a pirate astronaut, and then Man Show happened.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I had to drop out of the pirate astronaut.
Well, it's tough to get let it go. You'd run your course.
I had the black patch over the space helmet, over just the one eye. I actually had to have the strap and widened so I could actually put my pirate patch, and I have a uniform made up for my parrot. Lucy?
Uh-huh.
You're 25?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I was with this guy for about 6 months or so. The relationship was rocky, and I used to like knowing that I used to like getting my way with him, but I make him think that he got his way. I was a good girl from whatever. Just
whoa, 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 whoa. Whatever that statement was made no sense to me. I used to think he
let him think he got his way, but I got my way because I made him believe I was a good girl.
Yeah, you know?
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, look, who cares? Let's just get through this call so I can get back to talking.
Oh, thanks.
Hurry.
Okay. Well, the thing is, we just recently broke up, and I'm just leading him on, and I've been a super bitch with him.
Well, wait a second.
Just out of spite, I put the cops on him.
The what?
I put the cops on him.
All right.
Hold on, Lucy, this is
why I hate people like Lucy. How many times have I screamed about this? Hold on a second. Now I'm getting going on another thing, which is this. Okay. All right. I'm all full of rage tonight, but here's the whole thing. I call 911. I got to wait in line for an hour, even though, by the way, and this is hypothetical because I've never in my 39 goddamn years called 911. Imagine. Made it to 39, haven't sued anybody, and haven't called 911 yet. But it's because a-holes are using the cops to screw with their neighbors, to screw with their exes, because there's a domestic dispute and they got to call them for the fifth time that month. When are we going to start penalizing the people that just sort of use the cops? You know, the neighbor. I got the cops showing up at my house at a New Year's party at 9:30 in the evening because the neighbors thought it'd be a good idea. Like, look, you can't just use that. Hey, I'm going to screw with you. I'll get a restraining order out against you. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And how come, by the way, we can't start punishing these people?
We should charge them. All you do is charge them.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to treat the cops like your own personal police force, pay them like your own personal police force.
Yes.
That's all.
Well, here's the deal. The cops show up at your house. The music's not too loud. Nothing's too rowdy. Nothing's out of hand. It's 9:45. It's New Year's. Now we're going to the person that made the call and saying that's going to be $286, please. Mm-hmm. You wasted a lot of taxpayer time and money there.
Ambulances ask for
sure. Or do they have just like in-betweeners to sort of navigate calls to sort of like if it's just something that's kind of pending?
I've said this many times. Let's put those pussy parking enforcement wusses to do something other than writing everyone tickets. There's millions
of them. Or the rent-a-cops. We'll just sort of, you know, hire them on the weekends or something.
Well, see, we'd have to pay them, though. I say get the parking enforcement guys to show up for the domestic. You know, tell them to turn the stereo down.
So basically we need a better triage for the calls.
We need someone in between. The guy who's stopping the North Hollywood bank robber. Look, here's what I want. The guys who are having a shootout with the North Hollywood bank robber should be the same guy who's coming over to your house and tell you to turn the stereo down?
No.
No. It's someone in between who gets about half the money and has half the training.
All right. Lucy.
Yes.
Lucy, why are you behaving like a horrible person?
Okay, well, yeah, that's what I want to know. Like, I've done some horrible things, irregardless if I put the cops or what on him. I've done.
Well, how do you put the cops on him? How does that work?
Well, I really can't. I guess I can talk about it, but I choose kind of not to right now. But I've done some really horrible things to him.
Hold on. Well, you're not a great person, but I'm guessing your parents made you into someone crappy, and then you don't have the brain power to pull yourself out of that crap mire that they put you in. But listen,
I get some sick satisfaction doing it. I mean, I think it's hilarious knowing that he's suffering. I mean, it's not. Believe me, I grew up with a great family. I grew up dying.
I'm sure there were delight.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've had some, you know, I've seen some things. But, I mean, of course, I grew up with a good family.
No, Lucy. it doesn't go both ways. Lucy.
You know what the thing is? I like knowing
It doesn't go both ways, Lucy. You don't have a great family and a family that lets you see some things.
Yeah.
That's a horrible family that lets you see some things.
Yeah, and I mean, if you were being, emotionally false with him during the relationship, then maybe, you know, there's some, dishonesty in what you're doing right now. And how can you say that you're just, having, you know, that you're really having fun hurting someone?
She is. This is what a horrible person does and feels.
Oh, true.
No. Yeah, that's it's the case. That when people have glee at another person's distress and harm, that's the child pulling putting the M80 up the cat, you know, and pulling the feathers off the cat.
I don't know what it is. I mean,
Lucy,
let her talk. And by the way, Catholic home doesn't mean ass to anybody who has two brain cells to rub together. Please, you religious retards. Everyone in the joint is a big God-fearing Christian and Catholic. Are you kidding? You think there's any Jews or atheists in there? Please.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
Religious home. By the way, when are we going to stop? When are we just going to start checking that off the list? How many times does Bill Clinton have to talk to his clergy or Bobby Brown or Whitney Houston have to go to church before we just start writing it off as a joke? Really? He met with his spiritual advisors. Okay, shut up.
Well, Whitney Houston's a mess.
Well, but
she left treatment after 5 days. She needs at least 6 months.
She's a religious woman.
She was taken Israel by a religious leader.
She's a deeply religious woman, Drew. This should all work itself out.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Listen, here, let me just... It's all going to work out.
It's going to work out.
If all we needed to do to treat the emotionally... how can I say this euphemistically? The emotionally...
bankrupt.
Challenge the addicts is get them a spiritual leader. That's precisely what I would do with them. But that does not help.
How can you argue with Whitney making the pilgrimage back to the native land last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Look, obviously it's a joke. It's just everyone else is too big a pussy to talk about what a joke this religion has turned into. Thank you. All right. Now, Lucy, let me ask you a couple questions. And, Drew, you be quiet. And, Lucy, you got to shut up, too, and just answer my questions. What kind of weird stuff did you see at home?
My uncles and my dad used to have Playboys lying around.
All right. That doesn't count.
And I would constantly hear my parents
having sex. All right. Yeah. That'd screw you up a little bit.
And I would walk in on them, and I would be like, what's going on?
Okay. All right. But you were never struck or beaten or sexually abused?
No. God, no. My dad's always been that kind of protective guy who, you know.
All right.
You know,
and he's still with your mom?
Mm-hmm.
No, but this is.
And he's non-alcoholic or anything?
No. My parents, they've only drank when they go to, like, weddings. That's it. But they don't drink.
All right.
But listen.
Okay. They go to, every day they go to a wedding.
Their daughter walks in on them having sex. That is follow that path.
All right. Oh, look. I want to get back to what you told the cops this guy did. That's
really
the part I went
out.
Yes.
Well, let's just say I'm a very clumsy person, and I have a lot of bruises. I run into things. And he kind of pissed me off, so what I did was I called the cops and said, he kind of manhandled me.
Right. They made a report.
He got arrested.
All right. Well, listen.
He got arrested, and
Lucy,
I called him, and I told him what was going to happen to him.
Lucy, here's the thing. First off, I pray to Christ you have no kids. Do you have any kids? Yeah. How many do you have?
One.
Okay. All right. Please try not to do as horrible a job on the kid as your parents did on you. That's your goal. And number two, if you grew up in a great environment, your parents are together, everyone loved each other, and there was no abuse or anything, then knock it off. Stop acting like a horrible person.
Why am I like that? Why don't I show emotion?
I don't know, but it's high time you stopped acting on it.
I genuinely want to stop. I really
don't
want to be this way.
Then just stop it. Well,
let me ask
you. Just smack me on the arm and say, hey, you know what, Lucy, stop it.
Well, that's the point, Lucy. Lucy, excellent point. And that means that you saw some more heinous things than you're admitting to.
Well, whatever. Get some therapy.
It needs treatment. You didn't see your dad go into rage, and you weren't hiding in closets and that kind of thing?
No.
All right. Then get some therapy for yourself on behalf of your kid, for Christ's sake.
Well, what I do in front of my...
No.
Shut up. Look,
there's something very much missing from our story.
There's something very much missing from the story, but look, everybody, if you got a problem and you want it to go away, then feel free to do something about it.
It's possible that Lucy, you know, one of the other ways you get this way is, you know, she gets involved with a gang at a young age and just never, you know, really loses her capacity for empathy. But
don't you think it depends on how she was disciplined as a child? And that it's like...
Well, look, let's put it this way. There's certainly some bad eggs out there. Yeah. They're just, sometimes it's nurture and sometimes it's nature. If what Lucy says is true, then it's nature. The point is she's not a great person. The good news is she'd like to stop being a bad person, and I'm telling her that it's going to take a little work.
Yep.
And if you have an impulse to do something, it's probably not a great idea. And I would like the cops to arrest the people that are doing this stuff. And, you know, these kind of situations where, you know, the wives call in, you know, Jim Brown, the football player, his, you know, wife who's, you know, 30 years younger than he is or 40 years or whatever, calls the cops screaming, he's beating me, he's going to kill me. And then goes to court a few months later and she says, I was just trying to get attention. Now, look, either he talked to her and she changed her story or she decided on, you know, that it never happened.
Either case.
One of them's going to jail, in my opinion, because, like, look. If you just made the story up, and by the way, can we just have wives do that? Yeah, cops, the DA, attorneys, everyone showed up and did the whole thing. And then at the end, it's like, well, I'm not going to press charge. I was just kidding. I was just trying to get some attention. Okay, fine. You're doing 14 months now.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it goes. Oh, wait a minute. You got something you want to say? That's how it should go.
Yep.
It's not, somebody's going in. Either he beat the crap out of you, and he's going in, or you lied your ass off. And you're going in.
Mm-hmm.
What? Right? I mean, it,
I'm with
it's
you.
Crazy. Oh, okay. It's so sad because with domestic disputes, isn't it like three strikes and you're out, and your sort of kids like go away after that, and like it's just
you can
the weight of the situation.
You can destroy
is so
somebody's
ridiculous.
Life if you want.
All right, we'll go to break.
All right, we're all, I'm disgusted at all of yous, and we'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
We got to finish educating Jenna here a little
Ethan
bit.
Ethan Zahn is coming in on Tuesday, by the way, from Survivor, my favorite show. Jenna Malone here tonight from the United States of Leland. And quiet down, Drew. Open, quiet. Opening on the 2nd of April, New York and L.A. Let's take some calls.
Just quickly, Jenna. All right. just look at an old building from the 20s and just see if it wasn't transformed in the 70s. And just look at what happened to it. And then that was that decade.
Okay.
She doesn't know what you mean.
I missed out on quite a bit.
She doesn't know what you're saying.
I'll think of an example during the break. Okay.
Well, actually, no, I have a house that's built in 1973.
The cottage cheese in the ceiling?
Oh, I have cottage cheese all over my walls, gold fixtures, porn den bathtubs.
Yeah.
There you go. That was the 70s.
Okay.
Horrible time. Amanda?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I love you guys, and I love Jenna Malone. She's my favorite actress, so I have a question for her.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I wanted to know how you got into acting.
The long story or the short?
Medium.
I don't know. I was 9 years old, and I was living in Las Vegas with my mom. Mm. And I answered an ad in a newspaper because I was combing the newspaper because I was really unhappy in Las Vegas because I had just moved from Lake Tahoe, and it's sort of a crazy cultural shock. And so I wanted to like take this like painting class, and there was this like seminar on acting. It was horrible.
You were eight?
I was nine.
Nine, looking through the newspaper.
Hold on. Moving from Tahoe to
Las Vegas.
To Vegas is moving from a beautiful aquarium into an ashtray.
Yeah, totally. It was really gross.
Oh,
and it totally, like, it was bad. But I went to this seminar, and it ended up being a complete fraud. But I asked a few questions. He got me in my first audition, which was for a student film. And
in
somehow,
Vegas.
No, actually, it was for an audition in Los Angeles.
Ooh.
And somehow I ended up booking that job, which was just like a student film through UCLA. And I convinced my mom after that to move to LA for about a year because she was sort of in a dead end job, anyways.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, the opportunities must be more
what
in Los
Vegas
Angeles.
Vegas jobs are not dead end.
Well, actually, no. It's actually a booming culture because of all the new people going there and the new businesses and a lot of things are built.
Yeah, you can work if you want to restock shrimp at the buffet or something. I mean,
there's a lot of
employment to have.
Yeah.
Dead end.
Well, I thought. I mean, I didn't know anything.
But I like the idea that you picked up the paper.
That's wild.
Yeah,
precocious.
Nice. Kind of you get H9, pick up the newspaper.
But
well,
that's how it...
Like, it's been my life dream to work with you. You inspired me to act and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, what are you doing? Are you acting in school?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, cool.
That's like the main thing I would say to you is just, you know, keep doing school things, keep reading a lot, and keep being just like you keep watching a lot of film because that's really where you learn the most, you know.
Donnie Darko, I love that movie. I actually got it. I guess that makes me weird, but
that's all right.
No.
All right, Amanda.
All right, thanks.
Keep on keeping on, baby doll. She's calling from Commerce. They got the poker. Kino Pan Society, Pan Poker Society.
That was fun, huh? Good times.
Yeah. And Commerce must be by Gardena.
Culture.
I
think culture when I think Commerce.
I'm telling you, I used to watch those commercials. The one thing that cable, and Jenna, you're so young, you don't remember all this stuff, but back when there was only two or three TV stations, we had lots of horrible local ads we used to have to watch over and over again, and the Pan Poker Society of Gardena welcomes you to Gardena. They would talk about all the different restaurants and how the dining was exquisite. And I watched that. I was like 10 years old, sitting home watching on a black and white TV, and it would say the Horseshoe Italian cuisine exquisite. And then they'd go. Let's see, the El Dorado. You're on the French Riviera. I always remember that. I was thinking, at age 10, I remember thinking, Gardena, French Riviera. Now, Now, you know you're not on the French. Now, there's a guy in a bad leisure suit who's smoking a Tipperillo and got a cup of nickels. You ain't on the French Riviera. It almost would scare you. You're on the French Riviera. Holy Christ, we are? Are we sure we're not in North Hollywood? You're over in Gardena? And by the way, Gardena, dump. Asshole.
Commerce?
Dump. But Gardena, dumpier. Nope. I worked in a decorative box factory in Gardena for about 2 years. I built a factory over there.
You built the factory?
I built, I was a construction worker.
Okay.
And dump. Dump. Gardena, dump. You're on the French Riviera. Really? Tell that to the broads who are working at the box factory with me. I'm not sure if they knew where they were.
Maybe it keeps them going during the days. So.
French Riviera has a lunch truck that pulls up and does the da-da-da-da-da. I wouldn't have thought that. I don't know that much about French culture. I didn't know. You get a chimichanga, huh? Really? French Riviera. A lot of squatty Guatemalan broads for the French Riviera. All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jenna Malone is here tonight. The movie, The United States of Leland. Very well received, this movie. And Drew?
Yep.
That's right.
Saw the trailer.
And Drew can, you know, some people pick out produce by just thumping the melon. Looking at the strawberries.
Yeah.
Drew's that way with the trailers in the movie.
Absolutely.
And this trailer?
Excellent.
Winner.
Looked very interesting.
Absolutely. And like I said, I saw good reviews on it. But it's been making the rounds in the did it go to Cannes or Cannes? Or what are we calling it?
It didn't
today?
Go to France. No, it didn't go to Cannes, that festival over there. It's been around for a while. We went to Sundance last year, and we've just sort of been looking for an appropriate time for its release. And I think this weekend's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Feeling it.
Yeah, got to go up against Walking Tall. And most of the people that are going to see The Rock in Walking Tall have no idea there was an original Walking Tall.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say the vast majority of those people?
Yes.
All right. All right. Let's go to the phones and speak to Susie, who's going to fill us in on that story that we got from Germany or Florida, the 14-year-old that called in about 45 minutes or an hour ago to tell us the Germany or Florida, and it turned out she was missing some pieces. Susie?
Hello?
What's up, baby doll?
So I researched that story, and there's a lot more to it, obviously.
Shocking. So what is it? So when we left off, a guy was charging $700 for an ant, and we kept saying, what's so special about the ants? And she said nothing.
Yeah, they're actually imported from Southeast Asia.
Uh-huh.
And to sell them in Germany is legal, but to import them is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an illegal import, but once they're in the country, it's apparently legal to sell them.
Mm-hmm. What is so special about these ants? Why are they fetching such a price?
Well, just because they're, you know, an exotic species, and they're becoming fetishized by these children. But they range from being, like, you know, 3-4 inches long to being barely visible. And
I think the 3-4...
It's huge, like, fad now, but there's a reason why.
4-inch ant, I'd pay.
Yeah, by the way, 4-inch ant, that's already intriguing, right?
What's that?
Yeah, it's not 4 inches long. I hate to tell you. Whenever chicks tell me numbers, I always have to stop.
Well, distances or sizes.
Even if they tell you how old they are. Mm-hmm. You don't believe that either.
So where did you get the 4 inches from?
Think about women. Think about women in numbers. How old are you? Don't believe it. How much do you weigh? Don't believe it. How tall? All right. And you think you can park that car into that space.
That's horrible. That's
absolutely horrible. Listen, women aren't good with numbers. Guys aren't good with other things.
What other things?
So 4 inches is...
Many things. No, you're about three and three eighths there. Now you're moving into four.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, four is the body of this.
Well, if you think of it as your thumb, you know, as sort of the inch, sort of the marker.
Is that the way you look at it?
Yeah.
Never thought about
that. That's about right. Yeah.
Coming from the woman, so
maybe it is somewhere around 4 inches. Susie.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to pay $700 for an ant. It better be, you know, at least 2.5 inches, right?
It's got to make interesting ant hills.
How big are these ant farms?
Totally.
Can chickens roam around in them, too? Or... No.
Okay. Thanks, Susie. All right. Here's my thing, too. The phone may have cut out on it. Here's the thing. I hate ants. I'm not a big ant fan.
I'm with you.
My feeling with the ant, too, is like everyone's like, an ant can lift 400 times its own body weight. I'm like, I'm still going to kill you with this sponge. You understand? Not so hot, are you? You understand? I'm still killing you. You're going down the sink. I don't care if you lose 1,000 times. And until it gets into the millions when you actually can throw me. Like Adam Ant. Remember him? He grabbed people by the heel and flipped them.
He needed his glasses.
Oh, he did. It was a cartoon. Up and Adam. It was not Adam Ant, you know, A-D-A-M. It's A-T-O-M.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very right. Strong cartoon ant. Yeah.
Yeah, I see that Michelle Williams is in this one. Didn't we work with her at Dawson's Creek?
We did? Maybe we did.
She's in Dawson's Creek, so it might have happened.
How do you remember that, Drew?
We worked with her for a week. She was on the radio show with us a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
She
was the dude, right? That was the dude? It was one of the dudes. Nope. One of the girls. Which girl was it?
The blonde one.
All right. The blonde one. Mm-mm. I don't remember that.
She's wonderful in this film. She plays my sister, so.
Okay. And
the depressed one. She's always depressed.
Yeah, Don Cheadle is in this movie, too. He's a great actor.
He is awesome.
Always a good, puts in a good performance.
Totally.
Don Cheadle. All right, let's talk to Naomi, who's 17 on line 5. Oh, let's see what happened there. Naomi? No, I think we're not hearing anything.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Okay.
Trying to wake you up there.
Oh, right? Yeah. What's going on, baby doll?
Well, I have a question on, I've been going out with this girl for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been a secret because her mother is like a homophobe.
How old is she?
She's 16.
Mm-hmm.
Since she was 13, you've been seeing her? She was 13? That seems kind of odd.
Yeah. And by the way, moms and dads who are homophobes, you want to know how to get your kid to go homo? Just be a homophobe. Then it becomes payback time for mommy and daddy.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, that's how it works.
Well, your mom's okay with it, right, Naomi?
Not a coincidence.
Of course. She's totally okay with it. But her mom, she was crazy. When
you name your kid Naomi, you raise her in San Francisco, you got to be prepared for lesbo. And I think embrace that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You could do worse.
Well,
let me ask you a question for a second. Hold on a second. She's bi. That's okay. Here's what I'm saying. And Drew's going to feel a little bit cornered here, but I can speak for Drew when I say you would rather your daughter be lesbian than be heterosexual and make the rounds.
Yeah.
You would, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And listen, I know, you know,
BS male impulse.
Yeah, it sounds, and it sounds horrible, like, oh, you shouldn't care. But let's face it, parents care. They don't want their kid to be gay. And it ranges. It ranges from, I'll never talk to you again, to, all right, I'm over it. But I don't think anybody looks at their toddler and wants them to be gay.
I think that's totally false. I don't know.
Well, of course, it's totally true. You're just saying that.
You met parents that want
First of all, I grew up with two lovers, two moms who were lovers.
Oh, my God. This is
great.
But they didn't raise you to be gay.
No, but they raise you with a certain amount of acceptance and just respect for a person's choice, you know?
And when you said you were
Didn't say anything about respect. I just said... Parents
don't raise them with the
want
intent,
their
the
kids to be gay. It doesn't mean they're going to do anything about it or even care if they are. Most parents,
don't
99% of parents, have the intention of having grandkids
that.
And that kind of stuff.
But you said your mom was in a dead-end job in Las Vegas.
They had broken up at that point. They were together for 10 years.
Wow. Wow. Where's your dad? Screw him.
Yeah, he was He was like running from the law for a little bit.
So Florida.
He had a lot of
Florida.
He owed a lot of child support. He actually was in Florida under an assumed name.
Of course.
That's
where they
no,
all go.
Absolutely.
No, we're not kidding.
No, I'm not
we know that's where he went.
Florida. Wow. Yes, when you're looking for listen, all authorities, law enforcement authorities that are listening, go to Florida. You want to find some deadbeat dads.
Listen, Jenny, you're an actress. People are predictable, extremely predictable.
It's true.
Right.
Yes.
All right. So, dad, horrible guy. Mom goes lesbian.
Why was she with a horrible guy? Her dad was horrible. Her dad must have been horrible.
My dad?
Her dad.
Oh.
Your grandfather.
You know, my mom and my godmom both had sort of, you know, kind of traumatic experiences
with horrible dads.
Yeah.
Yes. Horrible
sexually
dad.
And emotionally.
Horrible dad. That's
totally.
What we're saying. And that's why she went for the horrible guy who split.
Well, I think she just wanted a child, actually. I was a product of a one-night stand.
Women who are raised by horrible men are attracted to horrible guys.
Yes. Your grandfather must have been an a-hole. Yeah?
He's a crazy fellow.
Yeah. Anna, do not.
Stop being so nice for everybody. He's a bad guy.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know too much about him to judge him. But
I know enough about him. Well, believe me, we know. You're laughing. We know your dad went to Florida, and we know your grandfather's a bad guy.
Yeah, no doubt. That's
or 100%. At least didn't do a great job with his daughter. This is how these things work. But you can't judge. Not judging. I'm just saying.
It's not a judgment. It's just
Well, this is how
factual.
You get to the bottom
of
these
just
things.
Observational.
Yeah. All right. So now you grew up, essentially grew up. Well, from age what did the godmom, mom's partner, essentially come into picture? Into the picture?
Before I was born. They were
before
together.
You were born. So mm-hmm. I was all. And now this is, you're 19
now, right?
What was
your mom
now,
doing
right?
in Las Vegas?
She was working at a temp agency.
Doing what?
Mostly like secretarial work, secretary work.
It's funny the temp agencies all staff full timers. You know what I mean? They should be required to have temps work their temp agency. Right. This is something sort of ironic.
But it's sort of
about
yeah.
It.
I mean, it becomes you think it's a foot in the door. I think like you know, young women are like, oh, it's a temp job. You know, I can just go in and show them that I can really do a good job at it.
She was a temp.
Yeah, she was.
She
yeah.
didn't work at a temp agency.
No,
temp agency.
Yeah,
she was a temp
agency, right?
Oh, okay.
That's all she did in Vegas?
Yeah, she went to school there for a little bit.
How did she end up there from Tahoe?
That's where her family was from.
Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh, that's another bad.
That's dad.
Strike three. Dad. Strike three.
Yeah.
All right, so raised with the lesbian couple, but did people know? Did people make fun of you? Did they keep it secret?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's like in the 90s, it's a different story, sort of having two, you know, gay moms. It's like much more like of an like acceptable.
Oh, yeah.
But when I was younger, like, I don't even think I knew what it was. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's
I
good,
wasn't
though,
like,
right? That's good.
Yeah, and it wasn't really an issue. I just knew that they loved each other and they were together, and that was there was a purpose for that.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, like, it was awkward on Father's Day.
Actually,
sort of like, who do I give this homemade card to, you know?
Right.
Sort of
we actually
assign.
believe that you're going to see, once they've studied this, that gay couples will probably do a better job than the average heterosexual parent childbearing. Would you say that's a safe statement?
Gays are generally smarter and a little more together, although a lot of them, well, I'm just going to speak freely here. Here's what you got. You got a situation. Heterosexual couples are a mess.
Yeah.
They break up all the time.
I
think gay
violent.
Couples are a little bit better. You do have probably more past abuse issues in gay couples. So now you got two people that have had less than great upbringing sometimes, but oftentimes they get therapy,
right.
Straighten themselves out, and actually become better,
right.
More appropriate parents
right.
than the heterosexual couple that never really may have gotten a wholesale abuse, but never really
don't care.
Right.
never looked into getting any better.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing, and they recycle. As I've said many times, I enjoy the gays for recycling. So, in general, yeah.
I think it's a pretty safe bet.
I think it's a hard job for anyone.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
parenting?
A really huge like shoes to fill for anyone just to be that person in a young person's life.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's
I would not want to do it with another male.
No, I'll say two women I'd rather have. I'd rather have two moms than two dads.
I did the Mr. Mom thing this weekend. Susan was away Friday, Saturday, Sunday. At the end of it, I thought, well, that's it. I can't do this.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. I need help.
But right.
I need
it.
A woman. Yeah, but that's it. That was my limit, and I need a woman around. That's
it. And then you don't need your partner, Carl, coming in, you know, just giving the kid
Amel
poppers and Jaeger shots.
I know Carl could do about 3 days like me, and that's about it.
That's right.
That's about
you need
it.
The two ladies.
I just think it's awesome if two people who love each other can, like, raise a child together regardless of sex, and sometimes if it's a man and a woman and they already have a lot of problems, they're going to raise a child with a lot of problems.
Yes.
And if it's two men or two women who have a lot of problems, it's the same thing. I don't think it has anything to do with, you know, with their sex and whether they're gay or they're straight. I mean, I think that's completely ridiculous. But
all things being equal, you want the dude and the chick.
Yeah.
All things being equal, but we don't live in that. We don't live in a perfect society.
Right.
And there's no. I'd much rather have two women raise my kid than a screwed up male and female. Just to say there was a penis and a vagina there. That's for damn sure. Look, I have to.
Everyone wants to say that.
No further than my own parents to realize F-ups when I see them. Naomi?
Yeah?
Well, you really spawned a conversation.
Really? What happened? Are we on the air?
4-inch ants,
well,
man.
Jenna, no, this is the next one. But Jenna dropped the two mom bomb.
Yeah.
And we had
to go down.
We had to see it until it hit the canyon floor.
You saw it through.
Yes.
So, Naomi, so your girlfriend's mom hates gay. And so what do you want to do? Or what's your question for us?
I don't know whether or not I should just go on or just stay with it. And
you mean leave her?
18. Yeah.
How miserable is this?
I mean, it's kind of miserable because I can't see her, and I can only talk to her like once every 6 months or whatever like that.
Oh, no.
That's not
a relationship.
You guys don't go to the same school?
No.
How dare you?
That's a ridiculous question.
I mean, the only time we actually get to be together is if we have, like, mutual friends that we, like, plan these secret meetings together.
Wait, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. You live in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
Where does she live?
Not San
Francisco. She lives in San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh.
Again, how dare you? How dare you?
Wait a second. Now, why? You guys both live in San Francisco, but you don't go to the same school as one of you. Are you homeschooled or out of school, or what happened?
She goes to a private Catholic school, and I'm in the public school.
And how far away does she live from you?
Pretty far away, actually, like 2-3 miles, maybe.
Oh. Hold on a second. That's the world's dumbest callers. What do you think, she lives in your basement? 2-3 miles. Well, that's insurmountable.
She's 17.
I guess if you could charter...
A jet?
I think you can use one of those water planes. I think those
Alaska.
Yeah, you'd probably drop that down in the bay.
Yeah,
and then you'd never actually have to get it in the air. You guys should have just scooted along the bay for several hundred yards and you'd be at her house. 2-3 miles. Yeah.
That's at least a 15-minute walk. at least.
If you got rollerblades, you got a relationship at 2-3 miles.
They got those hails in San Francisco,
that's
you know.
True.
It's like, come on.
Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a car?
No.
Okay.
Can you walk?
No, I catch the bus.
You take the bus.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's my question, I guess. You're not going to be going over to her house for... Uh-oh. Drew's thinking.
No, I'm just saying. By the way, my question was
she ain't into it.
Well, my question was not, is she... going to walk? Does she have legs? Could she capable of walking?
Well, Naomi's going to say that she can't go over to her house and that her mom picks her up right after school and keeps a very tight wrap on her and she won't let her out of her sight.
That's
I'm
exactly
guessing.
That's
Naomi?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it now she's 16 or 17?
She's 16.
She's in the 10th grade?
No, she's in the 11th grade.
Her She's in 11th grade.
Does
she have a car?
No, she doesn't have a car.
And neither.
This is San Francisco. Come on. I mean, it's a city. You have public transportation.
Can she come to your house, or can you guys meet somewhere after school?
Uh-huh. We can.
Why don't you?
Right. Well, that settles everything.
Why don't you?
Huh?
Why don't you do that?
Well... I don't know.
Because
now I'm onto something else.
Yeah, your friend's not into it.
She ain't into it.
Yeah, your friend's done.
Your she's friend not into you.
She well, she either mom has sufficiently indoctrinated her or pulled her back, or it was an acting out that she's not. Maybe she's not even gay. Who knows? Who knows? But whatever it is, she's out. She's out.
Yeah, because when
she was in love, she'd be find a way.
When
to
you're
get
in
you.
The 11th grade and you're in love,
you will
find a way.
Yeah.
You sneak out your room at night. I don't care if your parents are the Gestapo.
Yeah.
You get out. You make it happen.
That's why kids are sent away when they keep doing
right.
these things. Because they
Naomi,
they
she's not into you anymore.
She's not?
No. It's over.
But maybe, you know, maybe you guys need some time to sort of like, I mean, if you've been in this relationship for like 3 years, then I think it's a really good thing that you guys have a little separation. You know, it's the end of high school.
Don't
you're going to be out going out
it.
Into the world.
She needs the truth. She ain't into you, Naomi.
Okay.
Well, you know that, don't you, on some level?
Well, I don't know.
Well, when's the last time you guys were together?
Or even talked?
About a week ago.
You spoke a week ago?
Mm-hmm.
And when's the last time you were physically together?
About 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's a lifetime, by the way, when you're in the 11th grade. Yeah. It's over, baby doll.
Okay.
Don't you think?
All right.
Well, why isn't she? She's not making effort to see you, is she?
Well, she's trying to, but her mom just got her a lecton or something, you know?
No. Listen, not or something. Because she would be telling you every little detail of what the something was.
She got a cell phone, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
She should be calling you five times a day.
Why is she calling you on your phone?
Yeah.
Well, she does, but, I just can't call her.
You haven't talked to her for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So Naomi is a little bit thick.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Please, haven't seen her in 3 weeks. And by the way, that 3 weeks could easily be 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
She lives a couple miles away. They're not seeing each other. They can't talk. It's over. Yeah. She ain't into you.
Yeah.
That's fine. It happens. Happens all the time. You got to know it. And people are not going to send over a declaration that they're breaking up with you. They'll take the path of least resistance. I mean, it's much easier. We've all been on the winning end and the losing end of this to not sit down with the person, look them in the eye, and explain to them why you can't see them again.
Particularly not in 11th grade.
Yes. And if you ain't going to the same school, it's real easy. All you got to do is not return a couple of phone calls and then say, Mom said... And that's about
but
it.
I would just hope, because if they, you know, they've been together since they were 13, it obviously started in some sort of friendship,
according
you know?
To Naomi. But
And that, you know, it's really easy to be attracted to your friends, and it's sort of maybe progressed to something else, and you know, one was more into it than the other, and I just hope that they can retain at least a friendship, you know.
No, not going to happen.
Well,
but women can do that though. You're thinking like a man.
Yeah, I'm just saying if Naomi and her. Try to be friends at this point. Naomi's going to start
not at
getting
this point,
jealous.
But you need some time.
Yeah, down the road. Although you'll probably find, like we all, and Jenna, you will soon too, that a lot of the people you hung out with in high school with is mainly because they sat next to you.
Right.
And you find
totally.
Yeah, not quite as much in common with these folks as you thought. My mom brought over, hangs on to everybody I knew when I was 8.
Oh, no.
And, you know, it's always like, hey, so-and-so's back in town. They got it. And I'm like, I saw him. I was in the third grade. I haven't seen him. Hey, they're great. They want to see you. We're coming over. You know, it's always like, I never have the heart to say anything. And there's nothing wrong with the people. It's just, I haven't seen them in 30 years. It's always, but it's like, there's this thing that, well, because you knew them, here's why you're friends with people. First off, it's a cosmic crapshoot that your neighbor ends up being your best friend coincidentally. Oh, my best friend. I never know. That's the closest person to you. Your best friend's in your high school, your best friend. You marry your sweetheart from high school. I'm sorry to say, but it's all about proximity. Doesn't mean they can't be good people. But later on in life, when you get some wheels and you get out on your own and you do a little traveling, then you really find your friends. Because it's not about proximity anymore.
Yeah,
yeah, yes? But I have one friend that I've retained from high school, and I went to high school in
that's
New York,
right.
And I only went to 1 year of high school. Then I moved to L.A., and now I'm in Tahoe. And so, but we still maintain our friendship, and we're actually still quite good friends.
And
so
you will...
If anything, it strengthens it if you are going to retain the friendship.
10% of those people are your actual will make it into adulthood. 1 out of 10 of those guys is going... 9 out of 10 are going the way of the dodo, Drew. The Way of the Dodo, which is gone the way of the dodo. That's saying.
Coincidentally.
The saying, the way of the dodo, is gone the way of the dodo. All right. Jenna Malone here tonight. Do you agree, Engineer Chris?
Of course.
You never knew about the way of the dodo, did you? I will show you the way
he
of the dodo.
He doesn't know what a dodo is.
He doesn't know what a dodo is.
What's
that's
a dodo,
my point.
Chris?
There's no greater argument for the way of the dodo.
Having gone the way of the dodo.
Chris, you know what a dodo is?
Get that mic on.
Extinct bird.
No. It's an extinct bird.
No, I don't.
Flightless bird, as I
bird?
Recall.
Yes. Extinct flightless bird.
Yes.
All right.
Referenced in, I believe, in The Master and Commander.
Possibly. Yeah, yes, it was.
Maybe I'll use it sometime.
We'll be right back.
Chris is too busy beating off to The Matrix 3 to watch Master and Commander. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jenna Malone in here tonight. She has got herself a little movie out, or it's going to be out in a couple of days, called The United States of Leland, and it's heavy, but it's got a great cast in it, and Cheadle, Ryan Gosling, and Chris Klein is somewhat underrated, I think, because he's done a handful of like these teen movies and stuff, but he's really good, like
An Election. I thought he was really, really wonderful.
Yeah, he was great in Election. Election... Thank you, Anderson. Election was a great movie. I don't know why. It was just really good. I don't know if Drew's seen it or not.
It's really good.
Just good, and if you try to tell people why it was good or even explain it, it doesn't sound like much, and you kind of go, sounds boring, or slice of life, no thanks. But great performances, slice of life. Very compelling. As soon as it starts, you're drawn in.
Totally. I mean, it's set in a high school, and it's actually, there's a lot of truth in it. It's quite humorous, like life is, you know, there's like, so I just love to see when like young people are actually kind of portrayed accurately, because usually they just fill you with a bunch of BS and just, I'm like, I don't even know these people, and they're supposed to be portraying my age and my circumstances that I've gone through. And
well, it was nice in Election that Chris Klein, who was the sort of the jock, was nice. And as a former jock who hung around with the football a-holes most of the time, we never picked on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Picked on each other. Wasn't like we'd go out on geek patrol or something. They didn't even... Here's the whole thing about the cool football guys. They didn't even talk to the nerdy people. Not because they were snobs. Like, they didn't know them. They're trying to get laid and trying to get drunk.
Well, not only that, you've got to realize that the football guys are just as self-conscious and uncomfortable as the nerds. Just a different different form.
Yeah.
Maybe. Most of them.
They just didn't bother. It wasn't like you hated smart people because they were smaller and smarter. I've never seen a high school movie that had jocks that weren't cruel to the underlings.
Please.
And I like the idea that Chris Klein was a jock who didn't do it. What?
Your buddy Ray. Must have been cruel to everybody.
No, everybody. Ray,
if he needed something,
he'd
go take it.
Abusive to... He was a Robin Hood of abuse. If someone was weak, he would leave him alone. If someone thought they were strong, that would rile him, and he would go after them. And then me, Stephanie.
Hi.
You're 17.
Yeah. My first question is for Jenna.
Yeah.
You were in Life as a House, right?
I was. Yeah.
Oh, that's like one of my favorite movies, by the way. And I just wanted to know, first of all, how is it working with Hayden Christensen? He's like, I think he's one of the best-looking guys.
He's dreamy.
Like, ever. And I just wanted to know what it was like working with him and, like, kissing him and stuff.
How can we name Hayden Christensen and be ugly, by the way?
It is. It's a solid name.
It's a very hot dude name.
Totally.
Hayden Christensen.
Dreamy.
Just think of that.
It was really, he's a really down-to-earth, really, like, awesome guy. You know, he was sort of coming in, surrounding all this Star Wars clout around him, and I had really just, it didn't affect him at all, you know. But he was really hardworking, you know. We had, the majority of the scenes that I had was with him, and I just remember it was, like, kind of a joy coming to set, because he was, like, overly on top of it, and just, you know, giving 120%, and and it was fun. We had a shower scene together, so it was kind of awkward.
It was
strange. You're in a sound studio that's got this false bathroom that's got, you know, a movable third wall, and you're there with, like, you know, basically these nude-colored underwear and stickers on your nipples, and you're standing in front of, you know, like a room of, you know, 20 big guys moving equipment, and trying to have a very intimate scene, and it's just
awkward.
Is the
shower hot water?
It was hot in the beginning, and then they ran out of hot water, and it was cold for the rest of the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was not so good.
The pasty thing is a strange sort of ritual of this culture. I know it's a necessary evil, but it is really strange. I've actually done things that involved pasties myself, not being on the winning end of the pasties, but essentially take Band-Aids and stick them over the woman's nipples. Those are large square Band-Aids.
Well,
and
I mean, I guess it's, for me, it was more of like a comfort issue. You know, like I had to have my back bare, and I didn't want to have like duct tape on my chest, so I just like put these things on. But it's really like when you're at that point, it really doesn't matter whether you see your nipples or not.
That's
like,
the point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, I would go for the pasty myself.
But if you're like a 17-year-old girl, I understand it, but like, I don't know.
No, I mean, look, I would go for it too, but I'm just saying it's a strange ritual that we see fit that you're naked.
It's an arbitrary ritual. You know what I mean? It seems like an arbitrary thing. But
yes.
There you go.
All right.
Can't see
the nipples. All right. Who the hell are we talking to? Oh, Stephanie.
I have a little problem.
Yes.
Like, I'm 17, and I already have, like, D-size, like, cup bra breast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're really big. And, like, I'm pretty normal weight. Like, I'd say I'm pretty thin, I guess. And, like, it's kind of just out of proportion. Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, really, really self-conscious about, like, the way I look. Because I feel like it brings, like, too much attention. And
how much? Yeah. How tall? What is your dimensions, by the way? How tall are you?
Well, like, I'm 5'2", and I wear about like pant size like 5 or 7.
Aha! I don't know what that is. What size culotte size do you wear?
No.
Now, how much do you weigh?
Oh, I weigh like 125.
All right.
Sounds perfectly normal. I mean, the strange thing about breasts is that for young girls, they're always an issue. Like, I've grown up with absolutely none, and I've always felt awkward and strange. And I know girls that have huge breasts, and they feel awkward and strange. So it's like this thing where you can never find the middle ground because it's kind of forced upon by others' opinions of your body. So I don't know. I just think, like, you just kind of have to, I don't know, accept it. Like, find the bras that you feel comfortable in. Like, find the clothes you feel comfortable in. And just rock it, you know? Because, like, in 10 years, you're going to be totally stoked.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but,
maybe
like,
three.
She doesn't believe you.
Well, look, hold on a second. I'm glad you bring this point up, because this is another one of those things. Women with very small breasts complain, and women with large breasts complain. And
all the way between.
Totally.
And
all
the way between. Very rare to have some women that are satisfied with their
breasts. Right. I'm just saying, you know, you're trying to explain this to an alien.
Yeah.
Well, the people, it's like saying, well, guys with huge penises complain and guys with small penises complain. No. Here's how it works with guys. Guys with small penis complain. Guys with medium penis complain marginally less. The guys with the huge penis do no complaint. Their penis is
out. Float.
It's actually out. It's out. Their eulogies, it's out. You understand? It's out at christenings, at bar mitzvahs.
Oh, no.
Yes, funerals.
It's brought out.
It's brought out. This is why women, you can't figure them out. Guys, you can figure out. Small penis, complain. Big penis, shut your hole. And if his mouth is moving about his penis, he's bragging about the size of it. Women can feel self-conscious about anything, and I keep trying to explain this to every woman who calls who says, oh, I'm too big, or the woman who calls and says, I'm too small, I want to get them enlarged. Guys don't even, women obsess more about it than guys do. Now here, let me say this, I like a big set of cans, that's me, that's who I am. I believe it makes me, I'm more heterosexual than Drew, though ironically, Drew, very passionate man, exquisite. You're looking at Drew, you're looking at a passionate man, exquisitely, he's heaping with passion.
Heaping.
All right.
It's oozing.
Oozes, oh yes, runs right down his leg. All right, his sock absorbs his passion.
Okay.
Okay, now here's what...
That being said.
Jen actually looked at your sock.
I did.
See if it was laden with passion. You can wring the passion out of that sock. And he dresses to the left, so it'd be the left
sock with your hamper.
All right, here's all I'm saying. women say that it is men that have foisted this obsession upon them. It's not guys at all, because the thing is I know tons of heterosexual guys. They can't agree on what size boobs they like.
Right.
They don't like
big boobs.
They just
like boobs in general.
They like boobs in general. They don't like the huge ones.
Yeah.
I'm the only guy who likes that. And by the way, you know, because when you're the only guy in the room who's going, hey, I'm into this, you know that everyone else isn't into it. Guys don't. Drew doesn't like the big boobs.
Bonesy.
Not his thing. Passionate man. Focuses on the vagina. Not a boob man. He's that passionate. Point is it is not guys who says we need the huge jumbo can, you know, implants and the big D cups and all the triple
totally.
D's and all that. Guys, look at all the supermodels, all the guys.
I was going to say, like, what magazines do you read? Like, do you read a lot of fashion sorry.
She hung up. But, yeah, look. Well, she has the big ones. But what I'm saying is all the guys that are on everyone's sort of hot list, Christina Aguilera, whoever it is. Whoever the models are, whoever the pop sensations are, they're usually modestly chest or intermediate.
And what women complain about when they have large breasts is that the guy's eyes stay on them.
Yes.
And that's something they can't help. It's not like they're willfully trying to look down, not look at your eyes. They just, their eyes are sort of drawn down.
Yes.
And then the other thing, but it's the more significant thing that which they complain about more, is that other women shun them. That they're shunned by women who somehow are threatened by them, or, you know, belittle them and make them feel like, it's mostly other women that really make things uncomfortable.
Here's the bottom line, and I've explained this, and again, no one believes me, but guys, especially in high school and beyond, are visually oriented, and there's a lot of guys that like a beautiful set of eyes and a beautiful face and a beautiful ass, and somehow those guys are noble, and the guys who like a nice set of boobs, well, something's wrong with them. Well, look, neither one of them has anything to do with the person's personality or what's inside or their aura, their spirit, nothing. Guys are based, now, if you see a very classically beautiful woman who's slender and small-chested, and a guy's interested in her, well, he's only interested in her because she has beautiful eyes and a cleft in her chin, you know? I mean, it's all a physical attraction.
And we've had some functional MRI studies came out last week
that
showed that men, not women, men's amygdalas light up, which is a monitoring unit for novelty. The amygdala lights up and throws information back to the hypothalamus, causing hunger, sexual hunger, drive.
Yeah.
Women do not, they get arousal, but not the drive that men get from visual cues.
All right. All I'm saying is girls, please, small-chested, large-chested, just get over yourself and move forward. Guys will be a certain section of guys will be interested in you. A certain won't. A certain will notice your chest.
And that's it.
A certain won't care.
Yeah, your
it's
body's perfect for what you have and like what you are, and that's
everything.
Awesome. And if you are comfortable with your body, that's even more sexier and awesome. You know,
that's
so.
Right. We don't care about that, but yes, it works. It sells magazines. Yeah. Guys don't care. We'd like women who had low self-esteem actually and hot bodies rather than women that had bad bodies and felt good about them. Yes, Drew. Easier pickings.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Yes.
That's gross.
That's true.
That's the truth.
That's so gross.
That's the truth. We don't care about how you feel about yourself. And by the way, we don't care if you feel sexy. We'll decide whether you're hot or not. All this BS where they go, hey, if you feel... It's always these stupid supermodels that are talking to these fat chicks in the audience going, if you feel sexy, then you're sexy. Well, maybe. Why don't you just feel like you're the president or the ambassador, 7 foot tall? Guys will tell you whether
you're sexy. Yeah, but once all the clothes and the makeup come off and they're still not comfortable in their own skins, then what's sort of sexy or appealing about that when they're sort of awkward? And
well, they're hot. They're hot.
I see.
This is how guys work. Now you hang out with some BS, actor, artist guys who don't admit to this, but this is the truth. This is the God's honest. It's all about physicality. Hey, it's great if you got a healthy self-esteem. I don't want some chick burning herself with cigarette butts because she feels bad about herself. But really, this whole supermodel thing where super smoking chicks tell doggy chicks that you can be sexy too, just feel sexy, ridiculous. No. It's not going to work.
Yeah, but they're talking about feeling sexy for themselves, and you're talking about being sexy for you, for the exterior male. And I think it needs to start from themselves before they can even approach you. So,
who cares what they think about themselves, though? I mean, they don't. It's not going to help. They want to attract men. That's why they want to be sexy. I know there's that they do it for themselves, but they only do it for themselves so they can get guys. No one cares about how you feel about it. You know, look, you don't need to feel sexy for yourself. Like, I'll beat off anyway. I don't care what I look like. I know I'm a mess. Still going at myself. That much harder, by the way. You know what I'm saying?
The aggressive.
Aggressive. Street style. Oh, yes.
The angry.
Angry. A vengeful whack.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm a mess. No problem. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. Drew's a passionate man. He can't understand my passion for myself.
Well, you're a mess. So that's basically.
I'm a mess. That's it. Jim Malone here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jenna Malone here tonight. The United States of Leland. Name for a movie coming out in New York and Los Angeles April 2nd.
That's right.
Drew was telling me off the air that somebody called him at home and blah, blah, and the cha-cha. And he was PO'd about it. And I received a call from one of my friends, family man, a couple of kids. Yeah, got the time stamp on the phone message machine Sunday morning. I called at 8:23. And here's the guy, like, well, first off, see, once people have kids, they just start getting up at 7 in the morning on a Sunday. And then it's like, well, I've been up for an hour and 15 minutes. Time to get on the blower. Call my single Hollywood friend, Adam, over here with the no kids on a Sunday, by the way. Sunday, 8:23. And then I like the bewildered one. Well, I thought I was going to catch you before you headed out, but I guess you're not around, so I'll try to catch you later. Yeah, that's what I do on Sunday. I got a goddamn paper route? Really? It's 8:23. It's Sunday. Really? I get up at 9:30 on Wednesday. You know, it's Sunday. I might go till noon. Please. It's amazing. I find that amazing. I'm not angry. I don't pick up the phone, just, you know.
Amazing.
It doesn't ring. I just like the part where it's, I guess you're asleep, you're not picking up. It's like, I guess you hit it.
People just live in their own worlds, you know.
Yeah.
That is true. Let's recoup our Germany or Florida attempts.
All right.
We're gonna try again.
My dad, who goes to bed at 7 o'clock at night, you know, it's like, hey, when I get together for dinner, yeah? What time? 4:30, 4:45. Dad, it's still light. Yeah, that's when I eat dinner. Well, you go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. You got to eat dinner at 4.
Still light at 8 o'clock some parts of the year.
Jay?
Yeah.
All right. We are going to recoup our... and by the way, our Germany or Florida goes down as a victory for us. We did get Germany.
You got
victory,
it.
And on the heels of that, we predicted that Jenna's dad was living in Florida.
Yeah, well, he's not living in Florida anymore.
He went through Florida as a deadbeat dad.
He hid in Florida.
Yes, they all go there.
That's where the deadbeat dads go.
Particularly the ones from the Midwest. All the Midwest deadbeat dads, Florida.
That's wonderful.
Jay? And they drive cars. Strangely, they're car drivers then.
They drive, they work on fishing boats.
Yeah.
He sold cars.
Cars.
Perfect.
Wow.
Perfect. It's a great job for a sociopath. go ahead, Jay.
All right. This is a Germany or Florida that you especially are going to appreciate, Adam.
All right. Well, let's hear the theme song first, Anderson. Come on.
Being very sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis, sex, meth, and death fetishes, both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you, Germany or Florida.
All right.
Germany or Florida.
David Alan Greer's version.
Or Florida.
All right.
I'm going to get my radio station to cut a song for you guys, and I'll send it out with some smoked almonds.
Whatever.
Thank you.
All right.
You'll be a hit.
Go ahead, buddy.
You're going to really appreciate this one, Adam, because you've made a similar argument.
All right.
Violinists in an orchestra are suing the rest of the orchestra because they play more notes than anyone else for a given song, but they get paid the same per hour.
Right. So this is my argument for this show. I should get paid more than Drew.
Notes.
Yep, exactly,
right.
The same situation.
Well, you think about it. They get paid the same as the guy who plays the kettle drum?
Yeah.
Or the triangle?
Same. Or the glockenspiel?
All right, so is that Germany or Florida?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to withdraw because I know the answer to this.
Really?
Yes.
You heard
Florida.
I think you should get credit when you heard
I know
the story. Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
What's your guess first?
Oh, please. You can't do it that way. Go ahead.
Florida.
All right. I thought it was Germany.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like Florida, does it?
It's suing. Sounds like
the United States. Suing, but in the orchestra, they don't know what a violin is.
Yeah,
in
but
Florida,
if they did, they'd be dads and be complaining. So
no, it's got to be Germany. Jay?
Yeah?
What is it?
All right, Adam. It's Germany.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, not too
a
many.
Symphony. I can't believe you're going to Florida.
Not
just
a lot of orchestras in Florida there, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you there are more than you guys know.
Yeah. Yeah. But they play like they play like the wash tub and stuff like that.
No, I bet. Listen, Miami, Orlando, they play the tub. I'm sure they'll
play the tub thumpers. Hey, Jay.
Yo.
Thanks. We're gonna send you out a windbreaker.
Hey, cool. I'll put it on right now.
All right. Yes. All right. We're gonna send you an imaginary windbreaker.
See, Adam, did you know that was the answer or not?
I think I did. Yeah.
All right. See, because normally I just go with you.
I know.
And if you're not going to give an answer, I'm going to get
it
wrong.
Well, no, but, it was funny, and no disrespect to Jenna, but she's a rookie to the Germany or Florida game, and is still batting .500.
Yeah.
Got a win.
Yeah.
Got one win under her belt. Yeah, 50-50. But here's my point. I don't know. I hear symphony, I just think, I think Germany. But then the suing part.
Yeah. But I would think in Germany it's more like considered like sort of like this classical art form that people can't really mess with, so they wouldn't be like allowed to be like, oh, well, I should get more. There's not as, you know, like
it's all different kinds of forms of symphonies. Lots of operas and orchestras.
You break it down any way you want. You were wrong. Dead wrong. Yeah,
dead wrong.
Just
absolutely.
Wrong.
Dead beat wrong.
All right. We need to take a break.
Yes. That's it. We're done.
No, we're not. No, we're coming back. You idiot. After this. Well, there you have it. A very fascinating show with Jenna Malone. You can see the movie, The United States of Leland, which is coming out in just a couple of days on April 2nd, New York and Los Angeles.
Friday.
And then Friday.
Yeah.
Is that just coming? Yeah. All right. Really? It's Friday?
Yeah.
What the hell are we? We're the 28th.
It's Friday.
28th.
Oh, how many days we got? 31 on this thing? Oh, really?
Thursday's the first. Friday the 2nd.
Nice.
Good time.
Yeah. All right, so go see that movie. And Jenna, always a delight. Come back anytime.
So
our pleasure. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.